Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz is here with me. We are continuing our position group preview series that we'll be doing all month. Also, you can find our written stories over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. If you missed the last three, we've done quarterback, running back, wide receiver, some fun discussion there. This one will focus on the tight ends. Our format is going to stay the same. We're talking about strengths, question marks, and then the second half of the episode, we'll look at maybe some position battles, stat or player that we're kind of keeping a closer eye on, and then make bold predictions for the room. So the tight end room, it's a smaller group, so this might actually be a quicker episode. There's just less players. Feeling pretty optimistic about Michigan's tight end room. I actually do think that there's a lot of talent in the room. I think by now, Colston Loveland is a household name. And then A.J. Barner, the Indiana transfer. I think we talked about it in an episode last month. I really think this was the most underrated transfer pickup. Maybe James Turner as well, the Louisville kicker. But I think A.J. Barner has been pretty underrated throughout the spring and the summer, given what he showed at Indiana, given what he showed in the spring game, and what we're hearing about his impact at Michigan. I think there's a lot of excitement about him. You know, 6'6", 255, experience, was a captain at Indiana, and then obviously Loveland. But then we'll talk about some of the other players as well. And I will say, Steve, to me, the biggest strength of this tight end room, you know me, I try to think of, like, what do a few of the top players have in common. I think this is a very good pass-catching tight end room. We'll talk about the blocking in a little bit, but I think this is a group that, you know, between Loveland, between Barner and Matthew Hibner, I think there's very good athleticism. I think there's very good catch radius. I think, you know, I've seen Loveland and Barner high point some passes in traffic. Barner, not as much of a big play receiving threat when he was at Indiana. I don't know how much of that had to do with their playbook, but boy, great, very low drop rate, great hands. And then he caught passes in traffic better than anyone on Michigan's team did last season. And so really like what he can do. And then Loveland, I think, has a lot of the traits Barner has, but I think he's a little bit more, I want to say, space creating. I don't know what his 40 time is. I don't know, you know, any of that. But it just seems like he's able to find some open field. And then I think you saw Hibner, you know, that big play he had in the spring game. That looks replicable. That looks like something that he could do throughout the season. And then I think, you know, Marlon Klein is maybe one of the players who we'll see what their role looks like this season. But anytime there's a 6'6", 220 pounder that runs an 11-second 100-meter dash, they come into college as raw as he does. You just wonder, it's kind of a matter of when. Feels like players with those kind of athletic traits, they don't stay on the bench for long. So I really like the pass-catching ability. This almost looks like, and I don't mean this as a slight to Penn State, but it almost reminds me of like a Penn State tight end room. I feel like they've had a really nice run of tight ends who, you know, they might not be winning all the grit coins as blockers, but man, they can just make catches. They can play out of the slot. They can play in line. They can make catches downfield. They can make catches in the flats, in over the middle of the field. It just adds to the dimension. And in a season where we don't know just how deep the wide receiver room is going to be, I think this is very valuable. I think having Loveland and Barner, and we'll say probably Hibner and Klein as consistent receiving threats, you know, that takes some of the pressure off the wideouts to necessarily, you know, be out there and get open 10, 12 times a game. You know, they can spread the ball around a little bit more. I really like the pass catching ability of this room. Steve, what in your mind is the biggest strength of this tight end room?
I like the diverse. It's a really diverse skill set across the board. When you add Max Bredesen in there, kind of an H-back, really good blocker. I think as somebody also Michigan, I think feels like they can sneak out there and make an occasional play in the passing game. So you talk about, I think Colson Loveland is sort of your potential all conference. I don't know. If he gets the ball enough, I suppose he could be an All-American type candidate. I mean, he's got that ceiling,
Just Brock Bowers will probably be the main.
Well, yeah, right? But just maybe caliber then.
I heard from someone within the program, like they think that he is the best pure pass catcher at tight end that Michigan's had since Jake Butt.
I mean, I can see it. I mean, I always go back to his recruitment, how excited Michigan was about him, was strongly given the impression that he was the best tight end prospect Michigan had recruited under Harbaugh. You remember Jake was recruited by Hoke. So, you know, there have been high hopes for him from the beginning. And I think his freshman season is, I mean, that probably could almost argue he's a little ahead of schedule. So, you know, you have a clear cut number one. I think what you just mentioned about Barner's pass catching ability, just his ability to grab the football, is something that, you know, a stick mover, right? And a guy that a reliable stick mover, a veteran, with I think a little bit more upside than just that. I mean, he's a guy could end up being a nice red zone threat because he doesn't drop the football. So, and then Hibner, we've seen the speed there. I think he's got a little bit of a different dimension athletically. We've seen what he can do when he gets an open space. So, you know, he's a guy I feel like they could run some singular packages for, designed to get a guy like him open in space. So, and then like Marlon Klein is kind of the high, like another high ceiling guy who maybe sort of in the mold of Colson Loveland, is just going to take a little bit longer to get there. But athletically, again, so a lot of athletes, maybe just sort of different styled athletes at the position, which if you're Michigan, that's a good thing. I mean, we've talked about how Michigan can use, say, like Edwards out of the backfield in the slot receiving wise. You know, feels like if Michigan runs any two, maybe even three tight end sets, depending on who they throw out there, there's a lot of possibilities for packages. So, and I like your comment about helping the receiving room. I think it's a lot like when you're, you know, we talk about Michigan's interior line this year is really strong, should be able to give their edges a lot of opportunities to get to the quarterback because they should be very disruptive in the middle. You know, we talked about how in years past, maybe Michigan's so strong on the edge, it makes things a little bit easier for the guys in the middle. I think there's a similar push-pull type deal with receiver and tight end. So, you know, if Michigan will hit those seams hard with their tight ends, you know, it could create opportunities for, you know, like a Tyler Morris or a Roman Wilson or a Cornelius Johnson. So I just like the overall diverse skill set of the room. And again, it's another position where, you know, I don't know by design, but it just feels like, yeah, Michigan's got, they have so many different types of guys they can throw out there that can really just cause problems for most defensive schemes.
Yeah. Real quick stat on AJ Barner. He, out of the 48 Big Ten players, running backs, receivers, tight ends who had 40 targets or more last season, he was seventh in drop rate, just 3.8%. So yeah, he's not dropping much. I mean, he was similar a year prior. And then his six contested catches was actually quite a bit. I believe it was more than anyone on Michigan's roster last season, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, he's someone that can be a threat over the middle of the field. And chain mover sounds like a, you know, backhanded compliment, but that's really valuable. I mean, that's a huge part of football, and that'll be a huge part of passing game. I mean, I know Michigan, they love when their tight ends can be kind of quarterback's best friends and kind of bail the quarterbacks out a little bit. And I think these two are capable of a lot more than that, but I do think that's a skill that they have. Biggest question mark for me, I think, is just the blocking. You know, I think Joel Honigford played a lot of snaps last season. I know he doesn't have a lot of catches in his career, but he quietly played a pretty critical role as a blocker, you know, helping that run game. I think Luke Schoonmaker, a lot of people looked at his successful combine and figured that's why he climbed in the draft boards. But I think also once coaches and teams and GM started putting on the tape of his blocking, I think they realized he wasn't underappreciated by Michigan coaches or anyone on the team, but I think sometimes people are so busy looking at the receiving stats of tight ends that they forget how valuable someone like Luke Schoonmaker was as a blocker. And so I think that's, to me, that's where Barner and Loveland and probably Hibner and Klein can grow their game is in the blocking game. Cause I think Michigan has a pretty good offensive line. They have a pretty good running back duo, but I do think here and there, you are going to need a tight end, especially when teams know the run game's coming. I think that was the big difference was I think, you know, when you have tight ends that can block the way Honigford, the way Schoonmaker, and I will say Bredesen, Max Bredesen, you know, H-back, fullback, whether he's in line, wherever he's lined up, I did feel like he was a part of this too. But that's how you can run the ball when the other team knows you're going to run the ball. And that's how you can still be effective, I think, is getting tight ends that block at an above average level. And I don't think Loveland and Barner are subpar blockers, but I think both of them would tell you or tell us that they even think that can be their next level. That can be where they can grow. I saw Loveland put on a good amount of weight. Really, the whole tight end room felt like did. It seems like they're all above 240, 245 now. So that helps, right? Assuming that that's, you know, valuable strength and that's, you know, building the lower body base or kind of getting themselves to the point where they can go up against a linebacker or a defensive end and win that confrontation. So to me, that's the next step. That's probably the biggest question mark. There's certainly some hierarchy to figure out too, in terms of what roles, just because they lost five scholarship tight ends from last season. So there is snaps to be handed out. And I think quietly a good amount of them are going to be given to, you know, whoever shows the commitment to blocking that they need to show. So that's my biggest question mark. Steve, what's the biggest question mark you have for this room in fall camp?
I mean, it's hard not to fully agree, right? Just because it does feel like the passing game is where these guys are going to potentially thrive. And while Loveland showed flashes in the receiving game, and he did end up playing a lot of snaps by the end of the year, that's still the blocking aspect of everything and just the intricacies of not even just getting a body on a body, but just knowing the playbook inside and out, knowing where you're supposed to be when, those half steps. There's so many little things there that take longer than a year to really maybe master. So, you know, that's why I think a veteran like Max Bredesen can still play a pretty significant role for Michigan in certain situations, because he's been there, he's played a lot of snaps, and I think he's probably one of the better blockers at the position, you know. So, but these guys are all, we talk about, I take like Klein, Hibner, and Loveland in particular, your three youngish guys, all are very large, all are very athletic. So they'll have a, you know, maybe the learning curve won't be as high as it would be for other guys. But yeah, I mean, it's hard not to agree with you. I mean, I don't really know what other direction you could kind of take it. I mean, there's not a ton of experience behind Barner and Loveland, and that's one area where Michigan has, even if it's not a guy who's producing a ton, they've tended to have a higher level of experience from like 1 to 5, but I think the talent level is higher than it's been at tight end for them in from 1 to 5 than it has been in a while. So, you know, kind of pick your poison there, but I would have to say, just because we know how much Michigan likes to run the football. We know how many different like disguises, packages they like to throw out there. Again, reason number 8,000 why a nice soft beginning to the schedule could really benefit this team down the home stretch, because these guys will get live snaps to get used to some of that stuff and just to keep just live reps. I mean, that practice makes perfect. It's not practice, obviously, it's a real game, but again, Michigan should cruise to begin the season, and these guys should get ample opportunity to really refine their all around game at the position. So yeah, I mean, quietly, the ceiling at tight end as a whole is about as high as it's, I think it's one of the top 4 or 5 positions in terms of like you know, we've already heard good stuff about Marlon Klein. We know what Colson Loveland's capable of. Barner, we've talked a lot about being the most underrated addition. Michigan could really, if Hibner and Klein really kind of come into their own as the season goes on, I mean, Michigan could have four really good tight ends to throw out on the field. So kind of hard to really find a major weakness that doesn't involve the blocking side of things.
Yep. And it might not be a weakness. I think it's, for me, like, that's why I try to, like, when I do my stories, I,
it's more of an, Zach, it's more,
yeah,
of an,
we
unknown,
just don't know.
Right. Yeah. So it's, yeah, it, the only other way you can put it. So.
Right. Right now it, you know, doesn't mean that it'll be a strength. Like, they have to go out and show what they can do. I will say, I mean, eye test, you know, Barner is someone that, you know, you see him on film, whatever, but then you see him in person, you're like, oh, he should be able to block just fine. You know, it does not. Yeah. He's got a very filled out frame. I mean, he's 6'6", 255. I don't know. He looks like he could take on just about anyone on an opposing defense. All right, we're going to hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll discuss a player or stat that we're both watching in the next month or so, and then make bold predictions for this room. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for waiting. Yeah, we're talking tight ends, player or stat to watch. Steve, I think we usually do, I do a stat and then you do a player, but is there a player or stat that you're watching kind of in the first month to get a sense of what this room can look like this season? So a player that can elevate the room or a stat that can tell us that this room is really heading, as you mentioned, toward that high ceiling this fall.
I'm going to go with Matt Hibner. Just, you know, Klein's a second-year guy. I does, again, mention in the last segment, it sounds like he's had a really good fall camp so far. But for me, I think Hibner is that you know, he's a veteran, but also was a highly regarded recruit. I know we had him somewhere in the top 150. You know, and again, I just always go back to that play he made in the spring game. I mean, tight ends in the country don't – there aren't many tight ends in the country that run – as fast as he did on that play, if only a handful, you know, so he's got tools, I think, that Michigan can utilize. So, you know, if we kind of peg Barner and Loveland as sure things, provided they're both healthy and 100%, I think one or both of Hibner and Klein emerging would be huge. Hibner's the guy I kind of look at just because he has that extra year under his belt, you know, and so we'll see though, but because we've, you know, like I said, we've heard a lot of great things about Marlon Klein, but Hibner's kind of going to be the guy that I'm watching just to see if they do kind of try to find ways to get him involved in the passing game, because I think that's where he's going to be most dangerous for them.
Yeah, I mean, Hibner was my X factor player to watch as well. I'll read this quote from Sharon Moore, offensive coordinator. This is in May, I think. The guy, Matt Hibner, we're super proud of him in the spring he had. He just took his play to the level that we knew he could. He's just confident, playing fast, playing physical, playing to his strengths. He is a fast, fast dude, and he finally showed it and opened it up. So excited about him, which is very high praise. I will add, that was not a question where he was asked about Matt Hibner. He was just kind of asked about the tight end room in general. So that tells me that Hibner raised some eyebrows this spring, not just in the spring game, but through practices. He was probably one of those players that realized, looking at the depth chart, hey, this is a great opportunity. I'm assuming he was working hard the whole time, but with the combination of him being at his strongest and fastest that he's ever been, you know, being really comfortable with the playbook and kind of seeing that opportunity, because I think we're all like that, right? If we see that opportunity, you know, there's that extra motivation when we're out doing our jobs or our own workouts or things like that. So yeah, I think he's someone that I think answered the bell in the spring. Haven't heard a ton about him this fall. That's not in a discouraging way. Just, I think that's something that we might be seeing in those first few games. You know, if he's playing 20 ish snaps a game, then that tells you how much he answered the bell. Stat, I don't have a super great stat. I know the one that I did in my story was yards after the catch per reception, just because I think there's an opportunity there with this tight end room. I think seeing Loveland, how he can run, seeing Barner, how he can run and how hard he is to take down Hibner. And you mentioned Bredesen. I mean, that play against Hawaii, I mean, he might not be doing that every game, but I think this is, and then Klein obviously is probably the fastest out of all of them. This is a group that can probably pick up some major chunk yardage after the catch. If, you know, they can kind of keep their balance about them, keep their eyes forward down the field, and then obviously make sure that they're in favorable matchups and have leverage to get those catches. Another stat that will tell us what this tight end room could look like this fall, I think, is touchdowns or red zone pass attempts. The way Loveland plays, the way Barner plays, I think those two could be major threats in the red zone for an offense that hasn't necessarily thrived in the red zone. As good as they've been the last two seasons, I don't think Michigan would tell you that it's been running at full optimization in the red zone. You know, I think that Jake Moody was a fantastic kicker, but part of his quantity of field goals did have to do with Michigan. Once the field got a little tighter, once the passes were going to be more contested, it didn't seem like they had a major consistent red zone threat the last two seasons. And I think they have two tight ends that can change that this year. We'll see exactly what happens, but I think that is one additional opportunity I'll be keeping an eye on in September. You know, if I'm thinking like second and five on the 18, do they just throw it up there and let Loveland go get it or let Barner go get it? Yeah, that could be one extra notch that this of things that this offense can do. And that kind of leads me into my bold prediction. I don't know how bold this is. It's probably bold. He only has two career touchdowns, right? But I said Colston Loveland will lead the team in receiving touchdowns this year. I don't know where he'll rank in yards. So I would assume decently high. I don't know where he'll rank in catches, but I think that catch in the Big Ten championship game, especially, just really jumps out to me as showcasing what kind of red zone threat he can be, what kind of receiver he can be. I mean, there's high pointing, there's contact, you know, you see the strength, you see just the instincts, I guess, like stuff that's very hard to coach in practice. You know, his ability to track the ball all the way through. I kind of feel like him and JJ McCarthy are going to have a very strong rapport in the red zone. And I think that he's someone that has earned that trust where even if he doesn't look totally open, they're going to throw it to him because he's going to be able to go out there and make a play. So not a prediction for the entire position group, but that is one that I have. I think Colston Loveland leads the team in receiving touchdowns this year. Steve, do you have a bold prediction for this group?
More of an individual again. I think by the end of the year, and I don't really know how to gauge this, and it might not even totally be statistically, but maybe like to you and I or people watch the game a little bit closer, I think AJ Barner becomes one of Michigan's more important players on their roster by the end of the season. I just don't know if you can understate the addition, right? We know Michigan lost a lot out of their tight end room. They have a lot of talent coming up, as we've mentioned, but getting a veteran presence at a position that Michigan uses heavily and a guy who just feels like he's going to be very, very reliable for them throughout the season when you consider how strong they are across the board. I just think he ends up becoming a guy that, and again, I don't really know how you can measure this, but maybe a guy who makes a couple really big plays in a couple big games type deal. And again, doesn't even have to be like a huge touchdown or anything, but like maybe a couple third down grabs to move the chains or just the, I just think he's a guy that fans are really going to grow to like, and I think he's going to make a bigger impact than a lot of people are expecting.
There you go. I tend to agree. I know Michigan thinks he can be an NFL draft pick next spring. I think he'll probably want to put more on tape, but that's what this season is for. And I think it was the other part too, is all of the other tight ends in the room, I believe, have redshirt sophomore eligibility or younger, even Bredesen and Hibner. I mean, Barner brings a lot of game experience, a lot of football experience. And I think Colston even talked about it in his press conference yesterday where he said, you know, it's just really nice to have someone with a lot of experience that I can kind of ask questions to and learn from. And obviously Barner is learning a lot too about the playbook, but I do think he gets some of those nuances and kind of the tricks of the trade that could come up at some point this season. One has to think that at some point Michigan will be turning to these tight ends and what the tight ends can do when the ball is coming their way. I think will tell us a lot about this offense. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Be sure to stay tuned for the offensive line. And then obviously we all have all the defensive episodes after that. And we have tons of written content, both stuff from press conferences, insider stuff, analytical stuff, previewing this 2023 season over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan@247sports.com. Obviously, I'm biased toward our staff, but I really think we've done a fantastic job this fall of kind of covering all the bases. So be sure to check all those stories out. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.